Hey there, it's Kaysunga, and I have a really cool announcement for y'all. Headspace is now offering mental health coaching in the Headspace app. You can connect with a trained expert for live, text-based one-on-one support on your time from anywhere. Whether they're helping you cope with daily stress and anxiety or supporting you through big life events like loss or relationship hurdles, your coach will draw from clinically validated tools to help you reach any mental health goals. You can text a mental health coach for just $99.99 a month. Just sign up on the Headspace app or at headspace.com/coaching.
From Headspace Studios, I'm Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. This is The Gift of Forgiveness, inspiring stories from those who've overcome the unforgivable. When I embarked on my journey with forgiveness, I sought advice from a variety of people who've had experiences with the complexities of forgiveness. I spoke with priests, pastors, therapists, experts, friends, and complete strangers. One of those people that I spoke with was David Kessler. He's one of the foremost experts on grief and loss. He worked closely with Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the psychiatrist who first outlined the five stages of grief. Together, David and Dr. Kubler-Ross wrote two books on death and grieving. While on my journey to find out more about forgiveness, I noticed a connection to David's research on grief, and I wanted to know more. Like you heard in Chelsea Handler's story, and as you'll hear in some upcoming episodes, grief and forgiveness can happen simultaneously. When people die and leave us behind, there's anger and confusion that can be difficult to resolve. A big part of the forgiveness journey is releasing our anger toward a person who hurt us. When the person you're upset with has died or is no longer around, forgiveness can seem much more daunting and unattainable. I asked David to join me to talk about the connection between grief and forgiveness and to share some of his own experiences with forgiveness.
You know, one of my griefs and one of my forgiveness issues I had to work through was, as you know, Katherine, my younger son, David, died a few years ago, and it was from an addiction. And I had a good friend who did not come to the funeral. And I was furious at her that she is a close friend of mine and a close friend of David's, and she did not come. And I was furious about that. And I didn't call her right away because I was so angry and I was so overwhelmed in my grief. And when she would call to check on me, I was kind of very quick and curt because I had so much anger and I didn't sort of know how to process it. So when I think about forgiveness in general, not just in grief, here's the tools I use. One, can I picture that person being born? You know, they were an innocent baby. They were innocent, just like we all are when we come into this world. Sometimes that helps me. The second thing is I look at their behavior. Maybe I know they came from parents who had a tough time and their parents were wounded, and wounded people wound people. And the other thing I look at is I'm not perfect. I've done things wrong in my life, because I feel sometimes when I get very judgy around other people and I think, you know, they've really done something wrong, I'm sort of feeling like, oh, I've never done anything wrong. And the truth is I have, and I have to remind myself of my own imperfection. And when I remind myself of my own imperfection, it gives me a little more humbleness to sort of give out the branch of forgiveness. And the next thing I also do as a tool is to think about, can I forgive the action and separate the action from the person? This person's been in my life for 20 years. They've been a good friend. I don't want to throw the whole 20 years of friendship away. What they did, maybe I have an issue with that action, but not who they are. And finally, with that person, what happened so many times is I needed to really come to a place of some peace myself before I talked to her. And when I did finally talk to her, she was like heartbroken. She was like, oh my gosh, first of all, I didn't think you would even notice whether I was there or not. And then she told me her history about how funerals are just, you know, so traumatic for her and she just couldn't do it. And I came away realizing it really wasn't about me. It was about her. Now, certainly I had the impact of it, but I had to make peace with, I wasn't happy with her action, but I can forgive her and continue a relationship, knowing she loved me and loved my son.
There are a lot of similarities between grief and forgiveness, especially in David's story. He says his anger and his grief made him unwilling to talk things out with his friend, prolonging his forgiveness journey.
I'm wondering, based on the work that you've done with so many people in the grieving process, what the biggest similarities are between grief and forgiveness.
Grief is all about us. It is about a connection that has been lost, a physical connection. And we always have to do the grief work within us. You know, sometimes someone says to me, can you help my kids? Can you help my brother? I'm trying to get them to do their grief work. And I have to remind people, you can't make anyone else do their grief work. We all do that within ourselves. Forgiveness is the same way. I can't make someone else forgive. I can only, you know, work on my own forgiveness work. So they're very similar processes in that. And the other thing is, our grief is shaped by our history, by how our family did it, by how our peers do it, and so is forgiveness. You know, if all your peers are always saying, don't you forgive that person, it becomes a little harder. So our forgiveness is shaped the same way by our family's belief in it, our peers. So they are interworkings that are dependent also on the outer society and in our history. Anger is very natural in grief, and we feel like we shouldn't get angry. And it's interesting, we have an anti-anger society. It's one of those things that there's not a lot of permission to be angry. And anger is a natural emotion. Obviously, we never want to hurt anything or hurt anyone, but we get angry in life. And it's okay to get angry, especially when it comes to grief. I often talk about some of us, you know, we all have go-to emotions. If someone's go-to emotion happens to be sadness, when something horrible happens, a loss occurs, they might sit in a chair and cry. And everyone gathers around and says, are you okay? We're all here for you. I promise you, if I'm in anger, and a loss occurs, everyone's like, you need to go out and handle that. There's just not a lot of sympathy for those who get angry. And the reality is, anger is pain's bodyguard. So the pain I'm feeling when I'm in anger is the same pain the person is feeling who's in sadness. They're just getting expressed differently. So we have to really allow the anger more, whether it's getting angry at God, getting angry at the person who died, getting angry at ourselves, just getting it out. Our emotions need motion.
Anger is the second step in the stages of grief that Dr. Kubler-Ross outlined in her book. The others, you might know, are denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I asked David if he would go deeper into each of these stages as they relate to forgiveness.
Well, when we talk about the stages that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came up with years ago that her and I worked on, denial, which is, I can't believe this is happening. And then there's anger, which is obviously, as we talked, a natural emotion. Bargaining, all right, you know, we're going to be quarantined for 2 weeks and then this is going to be over. And sadness, which I kind of think we're feeling as we're entering the new world, and acceptance. And the sixth stage that I added is meaning. And I think sometimes we have to, if we're not able to forgive, go back and look at maybe where we're stuck at. Because many times we do get stuck in one of those five stages. You could be stuck in anger. You could be stuck in sadness. You could be stuck in the bargaining. And sometimes you have to go back and allow those emotions to come up so that you can begin to move into forgiveness and see what's required and what's needed to forgive.
That's so true. And that speaks really well to this, you know, idea that just like forgiveness, grief is really unique and individual to every single person's experience. And I think also people are curious about if they stay too long in the anger process or the phase of anger or the sadness phase, how do you help people get out of those phases and instead of staying stuck in them, which I think happens a lot in the forgiveness process?
Sure. Well, when we talk about stuck is usually two things. You know, I think of our lives as going back and forth between stability and change. We always are, you know, moving between stability and change. When a huge change happens in our world, like the pandemic or a death, sometimes we're thrown to the extreme of change, which is chaos. And then we have this reaction to move to stuck, because stuck is the extreme of stability. So if you realize people who are stuck are often overwhelmed with too much change and they need a little help. So that's why it's important for us to, you know, have people we can talk to and share about it and find ways out of it. Because I think sometimes when we get stuck, we can't see our way out of it. And that's when we do need friends and help to really get us through that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you definitely need the support of a village of people, oftentimes for grief and of course, forgiveness and just a variety of things that we face in life. I think that people have often said that, you know, for grief, it's a one-year process. Would you say that that's accurate, or is that really just individual to everybody's own experience?
It's so individual. And I think, I call that the one-year myth. It's interesting because I researched that a lot in finding meaning, that there's nothing special happens at a year, except you do feel like you return to the scene of the crime with that anniversary. But I do think we have an expectation that somehow grief is going to be over. And the reality is, you know, I always say to people when they go, well, how long will I grieve? I say, well, how long is the person going to be dead? Because if they're going to be dead a long time,
wow,
which they are, you're going to grieve a long time. Now, that doesn't always mean you will grieve with pain. When someone dies, hopefully in time, you will grieve with more love than pain.
Like grief, our forgiveness journey can't be put on a specific timetable. When we try to rush through grief or forgiveness so we can hurry up and move on, it always comes back to us. We need to really give ourselves time to heal. Thanks so much to David Kessler for talking with us and illuminating these overlaps between grief and forgiveness. For more on his work, you can read his books, including On Grief and Grieving and The Needs of the Dying. The Headspace app has thousands of hours of mindfulness and meditation content for you, including meditations on grief, anger, and more. Download it today and try it for free. The Gift of Forgiveness is hosted and executive produced by me, Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. You can find my book, The Gift of Forgiveness, wherever books are sold. This episode is produced by Monique Laborde, sound design by Dan Kroll. From Headspace Studios, the executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway. This podcast is produced in partnership with Cadence 13.